Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Leet Rambo Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9. Moggy with you until 1 o'clock, and joining me instead of Sarah. She's a bit sick at the moment, so hopefully she'll be back next week. And also we're having Catton back next week, our regular co-host from the United States, Dan Vo from the Full Opera.
Hello!
Hello!
Well, I should probably sing it in opera. Hello!
That's
terrible.
Not as bad as some of the singing we've had with from other co-hosts.
Okay. I promise that will be the rest of my singing for tonight.
Your show is from 6 till 7, isn't it?
It is. It's from 6 till 7 on a Sunday, and you can check it out. It's got opera for cool people. So, you know, it's opera for for non-old people. So young people, nerds, geeks, unite. We've actually had an episode on, you'd like this one, space opera.
Cool.
So we've had, you know, things like Battlestar Galactica and Star Trek talked about. I saw Transformers this week, so I'm going to try and find a really sketchy way to bring opera and Transformers together as well.
We'll be talking about that in a bit later. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm not sure if I want to see it yet. But anyway, Leet Rambo Rufflecopter is the geekiest and gay show on Joy. Well, that's because it's really the only one out there. Except for techno gays, but I don't know if you count them.
Yeah, I think they'd like to classify themselves as nerds as opposed to geeks. Mm. Yeah, the sort that have protectors in their pockets.
But yeah, we've got a bit of... Well, we're also changing to a new format.
Ah, woohoo!
Yes, well, we're doing pre-record this week and hopefully next week. For the first hour, there will be talk and music. And mm-hmm. then from the second hour, it will be just music.
Oh, cool. Yep.
Yes, it's because I really want to keep focus on... I mean, it's really hard to do that with 2 hours.
Oh, okay, yeah. And I suppose it's nice for people to just chill out to some cool music towards the end of the night as well.
And then obviously it's nocturnal transmissions all the way to the morning.
It is.
So how about we get started? What have you been geeking out or playing this week?
Oh, you know what? This is going to be embarrassing because I am completely stuck in a sort of like a computer game time warp. I've been playing Diablo 2.
Well, Diablo 3 is coming out soon, so
it's
a good time.
Well, my cousin told me that Diablo 3 was coming out, so that's when I thought, oh, you know what, I need to catch up, so at least by the time 3 comes out, I'll be there, you know? So I'm playing as the Barbarian at the moment. It's kind of... Fun. It is fun. It's so much better than... Well, it's not so much better than 1. It's like 1, but...
Now you can auto-click.
auto-click? What's that?
Auto-attack.
Auto-attack?
Where you can just hold down and it starts attacking.
Yes! Yeah!
Oh, in the first one you have to go click, click, click.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And there's the right click as well. And so you can use like a different... Like the Barbarian does the bash. So that's really
it's
cool.
Very technical.
Yeah. And you've got like a person that follows you. And they can like... Sometimes they're helpful in that they help take out some monsters that, you know, you otherwise couldn't. Sometimes they're useless because they will walk into the fray and get killed. And you're like, oh, I'm going to waste $8,000. To
so
resurrect
you.
yeah. Hirelings, they call it, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the gems are cool as well. You can put gems into weapons and turn them into special magical weapons as opposed to like having to find the magical weapons yourself. Yeah, which means that you can kind of calculate what you want to put on a particular, you know, whether you want fire bonus or whatnot.
It's the ultimate geek out.
Yeah, and I'm sure that people are listening going, oh my God, that is so, I don't know, 2000 or so, 1990, whatever.
Oh, it's okay. I've been playing a lot of Etrian Odyssey, which is basically like, I've shown you that. It was basically like the wizardry clone for the DS.
Yeah.
That's pretty old school.
It is. I really like the graphics on that.
And it's incredibly hard. Like, the first one was hard, but this one's hard.
Yeah. What makes it harder?
Just the, they've rebalanced a lot of characters. So, like the Alchemist, which is sort of like the Black Mage of the group.
Yeah.
Could do a lot of tank or do a lot of nuke damage.
Uh-huh.
Which, but in this one, he's, this one, the alchemist has been balanced, so he's, MP usage is, or TP usage, as is in case.
Right.
Is, now balanced with his power.
Oh, okay, so he's not, like, all-powerful anymore. He's just as equal as anyone else.
Yes.
Right.
And, yeah, they've just made the game generally harder with more bosses and stuff.
You can play with different characters, I take it?
Yeah.
Do you have the need, like I do, to play a computer game and then play as every single character?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Because as soon as I finish the Barbarian, I'm moving on to the Paladin. And as soon as I finish that, I'll move on to the Necromancer. I have this weird thing where I need to complete it as each different individual being. Which means...
Is there any reason for it, or...?
I don't know. I don't feel that I've clocked the game, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Well, you've got your $20 worth or something.
Well, there's that too, yeah. I think it comes down to, like, being a NES boy growing up and playing Mario. Like, even when you save the princess, there's still more castles to get through. So I kind of feel it's like that. It's like, even though I've defeated Diablo, I still need to do it as Luigi.
We're completionists here. anyways, I also got yesterday a copy of Rock Band Unplugged.
You were so excited about that.
Yeah, I was, because I really love Rock Band. It's basically Amplitude, which was a game that Harmonix made back in about 2004 or 5. It was very, instead of the rock music, there was techno, and the whole sort of look was that, but centered around this techno theme. But yeah, what the whole gimmick was that you basically plays all the instruments in the song, and you have to keep swapping tracks of that instrument. You have to keep swapping instruments of that track. It's sort of like spinning plates musically. And so, yeah, so they basically took that idea and put it to the PSP with the Rock Band franchise to it, because unfortunately, Sony actually owns the copyright to Harmonix, Frequency and Amplitude. Oh. So they decided to do it their own way.
It's all very complicated, isn't it?
Yeah. IP is very complicated.
Yeah. Everything should be free. Creative Commons.
Yeah. Which we're on, by the way. A lot of our podcasts are on Creative Commons.
Very clever. Nice segue.
Yes. Basically, here at Joy, we've been pushing for the past couple of weeks to... really maximize our Web 2.0 presence. So, we've got a Twitter account, Joy949, just one word. We're on Facebook, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got our Facebook group. Yeah. I noticed today that you're listed as an administrator as the Web 2.0 dude.
Yes, I control it. And MySpace. And I think that's about it. Well, that's our major ones.
Yeah. And Radhika, one of the lasses here at the station doing marketing interning, she's actually gone through and updated all the imagery. So it all looks pretty cool. Mm. So check it out.
Yes.
And you can link through all of them via the website joy.org.au. And if you want to find out all about Moggy's podcasts and blogs, what is it? It's /...
Leet Rainbow?
Is it? Yeah. It's got the number 3s, doesn't it?
Let me just check. What, is this from my own website or Joy's?
From Joy's website. Or your own website. It doesn't matter.
Well, for my own website, it's http://leetrainbowrufflecopter.com.
Is that with E's or?
Yes, with E's.
3's. Okay.
Yes. And just look it up on the Joy website. And like Dan said, we've got podcasts. A lot of them on iTunes. I think pretty much all of them are.
Yeah.
So if you see or subscribe to them on iTunes, make sure you give them a review, so then we can make a better show for you.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes. Reviews are good.
Yeah.
So they're always, and it's always lovely to get good feedback as well. Especially, we've just come out of a radiothon, the station itself gets so much great feedback. So we're presenters. We need our egos rubbed every now and then.
Yes, we do. We're getting all Web 2.0 up in your grill, so make sure you follow the websites. I'll put a link up on the show notes or to all our various Joy stuff. And there's a web redesign coming soon, isn't there? Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, you may. There is. It's coming along. you know, I've looked after, I think, 3 different website changes during my time here as marketing manager, and they're very exciting. They're incredibly exciting.
Looks very colourful.
Yeah, it is colourful. I think it's functionally better as well, which is something that we've been looking for. Because at the current one, it's we didn't really have a designer, so I put it together myself, and I think it looks terrible because it's my own work. And it's very white, it's very plain. It's clean, which is nice, but I think it's time for us to kind of, when we first designed the website, we really didn't have all these podcasts and these blogs. Now that we've got a really good stable of I think it's time to reconfigure the website to take that on board, I suppose.
Yep. So watch that space. So, let's go to a track, shall we? You're listening to Leet, Remember Offercopter here on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Leet, Rainbow Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9 with Moggy and Dan till about 1 o'clock or until about 12. That's when we stop talking and playing some great rocking music.
Yay! You know, there's times like this, I kind of usually make this little private joke between people, which is to say, I bet you in a parallel universe somewhere we've done this before.
Inside joke. But anyway, let's continue on with the show. On a much more depressing and horrible note. Going around the blogs over the past few months is this game that's been causing controversy called Rapelay. It's as the name suggests, it's all about raping girls and doing horrible things with them. And in this case, it's even more horrible because it is a group of family members.
Yeah, it's called a 3D anime hentai game, and it's made by Illusion. And hentai, I suppose, if you do a web search on it, is
don't click on the image.
No, okay. Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Don't do an image search on hentai.
Optional whether you want to do the web search or not, but it basically is anime porn.
Yes.
And I thought it was violent, but
it can be all types. It's just a general umbrella term.
And often, it's in some instances, it is a violent sort of...
And in this case, it is. And it's also part of a genre called the erode genre, which is basically like an erotic game genre.
Right.
But yeah, basically the whole goal of the game is to rape this family and make them become your sex slaves. It's pretty horrible.
Yeah, and in terms of the family, though, I mean, there's a mother, an older sister, and a younger sister, and you're saying that the younger sister could be around about 10.
Yes, I do believe.
So it's quite...
I think both of them are pretty underage as well. So, yeah, it's not very good.
So what's been going around the traps?
Basically, this game was on sale on Amazon.com, and this got the attention of Keith Vaz, who's an MP for Britain, and sort of who could be compared to Jack Johnson, who's pretty much like the he's a lawyer who crusades against games like GTA and games since they're too violent. He calls them murder simulators. Well, not Jack Johnson, Jack Thompson, not the
Jack Thompson. Yep.
Yeah, Jack Thompson.
Not the musician.
Yeah. But yeah, and it also got picked up by a group called Equality for All. And the most interesting is that this game isn't actually in English, or it's not generally available to the English public. But and what's even more interesting, that this protest by the groups involved actually got the Japanese censor board, which is called the Ethics Organization of Computer Software. They basically look after all software and particularly these adult games. It caused the whole thing in Japan where the group basically had to read, they're basically putting a whole bunch of restrictions on game titles and what can be in games. And I've actually got a list here which includes rape, loli, which is Lolita, which is basically underage looking girls, gang rape, sexual violence, crude sexual play, reverse rape, which I'm guessing means female raping a male, Shoujo, which is the shoujo bit is actually kind of odd, since shoujo is actually just an umbrella term for girls' manga. Like, what's a good example? Like Love Hina, that's a shoujo, because it's basically not so, what's a good one? But basically, shoujo manga is basically for girls, aimed at them, with pretty girls and flowers and drama and all that sort of stuff, which is kind of interesting that's in there. Forbidden sex, such as adultery and incest. I didn't really think that adultery was forbidden, but I guess. Reverse sexual violence, which I'm guessing is the same as reverse rape. Forced. I should mention, by the way, that these are just rough translations, since some of these actual fetishes and terms don't actually have direct
translation. They originate within the Japanese.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. School council, which I'm not sure that is. Bestiality, which does not include catgirls, vampires, and apparently various other non-human things.
Interesting thing about the catgirls, by the way, because I was reading through, it is available on Wikipedia, so you can actually read the story of how rape play works out, plays through. The story is quite horrific. It's really full on. I don't know who would actually want to play something like this. But I mean, one of the features of one of the characters, Manica, or the younger sister, is that you can make her wear cat ears and she'll meow or produce cat noises. So I imagine that that's what cat girls is. So there must be kind of a subgenre of, you know.
I don't know why vampires is in there, but I don't know. Anyway, bondage, coercion, train groping, which is actually in the game itself as one of the parts.
It's the opener, I suppose.
Enjo Kalsai, I should have opened up the Wikipedia link before I start the show, but but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on. I mean, there's incest, torture, Japanese bondage, pregnancy, rape being a feature. It's the sex slave thing, imprisonment, impregnation, pregnant women. It's quite... So these are the things that they are working to restrict, basically, yeah.
And the list will cover not only written information. This is from a site called CanDogs that provide the list, including scenario speech, hidden meetings, circle name and brand name, but images and CG, which stands for computer graphics, like the art and all that. And this will also include real-life images as well, not just drawn stuff. And, yeah... And that's really what is being restricted.
So you asked a few really, really interesting questions in regards to this. And I suppose this is why we've brought it up. I mean, Moggy, you came up with some very interesting questions.
Yes, I was thinking, like, I was talking to Jack from the Cubby House just before about, like, games in general, a lot of games where the whole goal is to kill something, or at very least killing something is inevitable. Like even in Mario, like you're killing Goombas, which is killing life. So and then you have the more wider spectrum stuff that goes through the senses. Like God of War, that's incredibly violent. In Gears of War, you're chainsawing people in half. Though to be fair, in the cases of God of War and Gears of War, you're actually fighting non-human things, but does that still, and like in the Mario case, does
the Goombas look so cute?
Does the fact that it's non-human and the fact that they're bad guys, does that sort of soften the blow in terms of violence? Does that justify it?
So I suppose the question the true question behind that, which I think you said before, that was what made me think quite earnestly about this, was, is violence in itself more depraved than rape? Yeah. You know,
is it comparable or even worse? Because I was saying in this society we're very, I would say we're desensitized to actually violence, but when it comes to sex we're up in an uproar. Like we're not defending this game in any way, shape or form, but what I'm trying to say is, what I'm trying to say is, the act of violence even just as bad as what is going on here? And should we be looking at our own culture as gamers and saying, well, is this really right to have this much violence in our games?
I mean,
and is it justified?
I mean, last time I was on the show, I think we talked about the rating system, 18 plus, you know, should games have the opportunity to decide for themselves whether or not they have the, well, it should be their choice. They are adults and therefore they should be able to make their own choices. This game in particular, when you're talking about violence, because this game is both violent and also has sexual, sex crimes, very illegal in terms of the age of the children as well. I mean, I'm surprised that this game hasn't been stopped on the basis of the fact that there is child pornography in it. If the girl is indeed 10, that would that not constitute child pornography? And why would that not be the basis upon which you would therefore take the game off the shelves?
Well, I'm not really proficient in how the rating system works in Japan.
Sure. And I mean, in particular with this game, you'd kind of look at it and think, well, I suppose when we had that discussion about the rating system, it came down to, you know, there was some sort of discussion about if people get to play out their fantasies, will they therefore then not actually enact it in real life?
Well, this is actually, in the UK, they've actually banned this sort of stuff in real life, that the making of porn that has simulated rape and acts of sexual violence, it's actually banned. And the question is is it okay to do that, because it's all consensual and they're getting out their fantasies in a way that's not hurting anybody in reality, but is it still wrong?
Yeah, and the thing would be is, I suppose when you say, you know, when you make sort of like a Second Life or simulated fantasy, are you not just therefore creating a type of product that is to be consumed by, you know, that type of person that wants that? You know, what I suppose the question therefore would be, is CG crime the same, equal to real crime?
Does the fact that it's in a fantasy world, does that mean they're actually going, are they able to actually differentiate between those two worlds, that this is what happens in this world and it stays in that world, not in the real world?
I mean, the thing is you've also got a lot of, well, not a lot, but there has been legal precedent where people have said, oh, because I played this game, therefore I was inspired by the game to act, to commit murder or to commit this particular act of violence, and therefore I should get a less of a sentence because I did not act upon my own will. It was because of the game that led me down that path. So it's, I suppose, would you call that a double-edged sword? I mean, in Japan, there is a huge problem with groping in public transport, and you know they have
they have female only train.
That's
carriages.
Right. Yeah, and so clearly that the opening scene, which you know it is seemingly a lesser crime, you know, being groped, but it is, you know, still infringing on somebody's personal space, I suppose, and also just, you know, it is a form of harassment. You know, to have that relatively perpetuated crime and then use it in a context where, you know, it almost makes the next level layer and the next layers of crimes committed not as, you know, it's kind of like they can enact that. So, you know, would that not inspire people to go on a train and go, oh, well, I played the game. I know how to get around it on the game. So therefore, I know how to get around it in real life. You know, does that I suppose that would be a consideration.
But yeah, if you have trouble differentiating that this is a game and this is real life, then you probably need to seek help.
But I mean, that word need is a very interesting key word there. Do we need games like this?
I don't think we do, but
yeah, I mean, what purpose do they fulfill? Really?
There must be an audience for it if they made it.
And then would you, I suppose the next logical thing for me to do then would be to question that audience. Why does that audience need that particular game to fulfill whatever need that they have? And just because there is a need, is it right, therefore, to fulfill that need? I simply put out that question there.
We're not making judgments. But
in some cases, in this particular game,
like,
I
this
think
game is
it's
wrong.
Safe to make judgments. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no one in their right mind would actually say, this is a great game, this is art. No one would try to make that argument, at least if they were sane enough.
Well, I mean, rape is a crime. And child pornography, the propagation of and distribution of, is certainly a crime as well. So we both agree on that. And
yes.
The rest is simply discussion.
Yep. It's the opinion of us, not necessarily Joy or it's Joy Incorporated. So yeah, let's go to a track, shall we? We've had enough ethical discussion for a bit. You're listening to Leet, Rainbow Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9. Actually, should we open this up to the SMSs, even though this is pre-recorded?
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if there'd be some SMSs coming through anyway. So if you've got an opinion, please do send that through. Yes, it will be very interesting to see what your thoughts are.
Yes, you can do so at 0427-JOY-949 or email it on air@joy.org.au. And I might actually read out on the second hour. So yeah, you're listening to Leet, Rainbow Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Leet, Rainbow Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9. Moggy and Dan with you until about 1 a.m., and then Nocturnal Transmissions, and then Morning with Gillian and Claire. And, Let's go on from a more happier or maybe a less depressed topic than what we were talking about last time.
I don't know if this is less
well,
serious.
It's less depressing on it's less depressing on the scale of depressingness.
Yes, yep.
But yeah, it's been around for a good couple of months, or even last year, about the whole internet filter. That's being proposed to plague our ISPs.
Yes, Senator Stephen Conroy is going to save everybody from themselves.
From child pornography and...
Well, that's not a laughing matter.
I know. but that's what he says, it's child pornography, but it's actually a much larger thing he's trying to battle.
Yeah, he wants to protect us from Brisbane dentists.
But yeah, recently he just added... It's gone even more silly where he's the government's now proposing that video games be added into that list of banned websites and such. And under the law, it will be basically the sale websites that actually sell games that have been refused classification. That means that they have been given the rating beyond MA 15 plus, because we don't have an R rating. We're actually the only developed country to not have that rating.
Okay.
Hmm.
Does that imply that underdeveloped countries don't have an R rating? Or okay.
But yeah, MMOs with questionable content will be also be denied the access. People will be denied access to that. Flash games and other web-based games that have been deemed inappropriate or beyond MA 15+ will also be blocked. So, but the thing that the thing that really annoys me is the first thing I talked about was the fact that they can ban sites that actually sell the games.
Yeah, so for example, if we're going to go back to RatePlay very quickly, any website that sells RatePlay, of course, would be just banned.
But on a more personal sort of story, I import a lot of my games because I just can't be arsed waiting, since we live in Australia and games are months and months away and they're hella expensive. So I usually like to buy my games from import shops, and those import shops usually sell stuff that has been blocked, sell versions that have been refused classification. Like, they sell the original version of Silent Hill 5 Homecoming and the original version of Fallout, which were changed here and because of questionable content.
Okay.
So does that mean...
Were they changed in order to be given a rating of MA 15+? Was that why they needed to be changed?
Okay. Yes, they'll be pretty much told that this content is not we do not consider it within the realms of MA 15+. Please go and change your content, or just don't publish it. So that's what they did. They changed the content. They also did that with GTA 4 a few months back. But yeah, I really hope that the popular sites that I buy my stuff from, and this actually brings up another interesting question: can sites like eBay be blocked? Can the humongous
if they
sites?
Sold a? Yeah. So, I suppose the question would be: is whether if we introduced that 18+ that R rating, would that change the rules upon which things get blocked? Like,
yes.
Would you therefore then have and the ones that are refused classification, it's not because they are 18+, it's because they just don't fall within any tangible means of, or intelligible means of rating, I suppose, if we can go back to Rate Play. Like, for example,
no, it's mostly because they do go beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rate Play is not an 18+, yes. For example. It is completely inaccessible.
Yes. That would be banned.
Accessible, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a banned product as opposed to
any form of media containing that sort of stuff would be banned.
Okay. So that could be one way of solving this problem.
Hmm.
I mean, the thing about this is the interesting thing is Stephen Conroy, the Minister for Communication, has said that the system in which they will ban these websites will be complaint-based.
Hmm.
So I suppose if you had...
I do believe that's just for stuff like Flash games and web games. I don't know. Like, I imagine that the OFLC would get their hands on stuff first, and then they would probably tell ACMA, "Oh, this game is bad. Go and look up people who have sold that site, who are selling that."
I mean, there's
that's a speculation on my part.
The speculation on my part would be that if it's complaint based, it would be the same way that ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, currently assess how. Community broadcasters, commercial broadcasters, you know, radio broadcasters.
Well, they're the same people doing that.
Yeah. How they assess whether or not we're breaking any particular broadcast rules. There's a strict set of rules that we have to broadcast within. And they can't listen to every single amount of word being uttered via a microphone on any single radio station. I mean, in the community sector alone, there's 400 stations to listen to.
Wow.
So... they work on a complaint-based system. If somebody makes a complaint, then they go in and investigate, and they investigate that specific complaint. Oh, I heard them say this particular thing on air, and I think it was racist or whatever.
Mm.
And they would go in and specifically listen to that piece of audio and assess it that way. So I suppose that will probably mean that unless somebody makes a complaint about a particular website, oh, they are selling an unclassified version of Silent Hill, only then would it get blocked. But so there's that element of, would somebody report it or would people just not care? Are there just going to be way too many websites to go through? Because for me, it sounds like ACMA's not going to go do that work. And
well, from the looks of it, like from the last list that actually got leaked, they're actually doing tag. They're looking for certain keywords in my get. That's my view.
Okay, yeah. And the interesting thing is, clearly there's a hole in their system, which was going back to that Brisbane dentist, where according to to Stephen Conroy and the Australian government, the particular dentist's website was hacked by the Russian mafia, and they were putting up those spam things that get sent out, and that's why that particular dentist's website was banned. That was that, you know, whether or not that is a believable story, I will leave to you, but I mean, how do you find all the websites to ban, and then how do you go through and find out which ones were incorrectly banned? You know, it is a huge undertaking, and still yet to be seen whether or not it will work at all,
and otherwise this causes a slowdown of our ISPs. Because don't know if they've updated the tests or not, because last time they did it, it was about a 20 to 80% slowdown.
Right.
Of, internet speeds.
Yeah. The Australian government have been saying that 80% is a mythological number. It was nothing like that. It was an insignificant, tiny amount, like less than 10%. But, you know, it's been a long time since I've followed a statement from Stephen Conroy's office, so...
But this won't... I doubt this will actually go through This will go through as law.
Yeah.
Because I... Just the just the economical ramifications of everything, not just gaming, but of all of our economy in general.
Yeah.
We need it.
I just love the idea that they're going to speed up the entire internet network in Australia and then slow it down. Hopefully it'll balance itself out and we, you know, be back at square one.
Or back to dial-up days or something.
Hey, I grew up in dial-up days. It's not so bad.
But yeah, it's a very bad thing. And hopefully it doesn't ruin the import scene, because I'll be one very sad boy.
I think my internet, just thinking about dial-up, was at 1.14.4. Is that a tangible number? I mean, is that a number that you would have had for dial-up?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and then, like, we were so excited when it was upgraded to 56.8 or something like that.
Now, these days, it's actually unimaginable to be on dial-up. Like, whenever I get capped, I'm like, oh my God, this is so slow.
And yet, it's still faster than dial-up. Mm. Yeah, I've got people... There's people here at the station who are still on dial-up. I don't know how they do it. You are crazy. Go and get broadband or... What's the other one?
ADSL.
Yeah, ADSL. ADSL 2. My God, dial-up.
I remember when you had to, you couldn't use the phone when you use the internet.
That's right, yeah. You'd get just that bang, bang sound. And yeah, and then if you picked up the phone, it would disconnect your connection. Yeah. And you'd be like, damn it. I love the episode of The Simpsons where the comic book guy is looking up internet porn, and it's like line by line porn. That was dial-up, people. That's what I grew up in.
Oh, we live in a truly futuristic world.
We do.
I was just thinking the other day. Like, I was reading on Twitter. This guy basically put up a link to this thing called Puppy Cam.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, which is basically like this 24-hour feed of these newborn puppies. And I was thinking, this is the future.
Sure.
Yeah.
Puppy Cam, straight to your iPhone, which comes out today.
Oh, does it?
If it's clicked past 12 o'clock, it comes out today.
Oh, cool. There are really some people I know in Australia who've already got it, but I think they might be Americans.
Oh, the 3GS, sorry. Yes. Yeah, that's what I meant by the iPhone. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the iPhone's clearly already out, but so excited by the 3GS.
It's faster.
I want one. Yeah, and faster.
Video stuff and MMS, which I don't really understand. That seems like such a... obvious feature to have.
Yeah, like, basic forwarding, copying and paste is a new function.
And tethering, which...
Tethering?
Yes.
I don't know what that word means.
Tethering allows you to use your phone as a modem.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but it's incredibly expensive, particularly if you live in America, because one of the downsides of actually having an iPhone in America is that unless you jailbreak your phone, you're actually stuck with one carrier, AT&T. But they... They basically charge quite a bit for tethering, and it's still not out yet. Well, you're listening to Lee. Well, let's go to a track, shall we?
Okay.
You're listening to Lee from Rofflecopty here on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Lee from Barofflecopter here on Joy 94.9.
Yay!
This is actually the last time we'll talk, at least the main part of the talky bits from Lee from Barofflecopter.
Yeah, I got to get home to watch to play Diablo 2.
We're such geeks.
I was actually looking up Lego the other day. Like, you know how people make Lego creations? What's that called again? I can't remember what it's called, but there's specific... Like, build your own Lego or some of that. Mm. Like,
I have no idea.
Self-made creations or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's like a code word for it. It's so cool. I love Lego. And just to see people make different, like, creatures out of Lego. Yeah, I was looking up different, you know.
I was actually reading this story the other day. This guy, well, it was a few years ago, but he actually just now posted up his photos on his blog.
Yeah.
He proposed to his wife with a Lego diamond ring. No, but inside the actual diamond ring was a real diamond ring, because that would be just lame.
Yeah, I know. I'd as if I was her, I'd just be like, "What? Are you kidding me? This is what I have to wear for the rest of my life."
But yeah, it looked very cool, if not dorky. And at least she got the real thing in the end.
Yeah.
Because sure. Just imagine if you walked in there, saw the giant ring going, oh, God.
Now, of course, one of the things I've been looking up has been Lego Transformers, which they're so cool. Just do a quick web search for them. They are so cool. Transformers is also a very cool movie.
Number two,
yes. I haven't seen number one, and I wondered about that before.
I heard, isn't that great? I heard that they bodged it up by focusing more on humans and robots.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, because the second one is kind of has that. It is very focused on the humans as well, I suppose. But I was surprised at how funny it was and how some of the plotline was really good. And the ability for it to make me a little bit emotional. I was just like, oh. Although it was for things that was unexpected, like just seeing the pyramids. I've never been to Egypt, and seeing a particular gateway in Egypt. And I was like, oh my God, look at that. The human accomplishment had nothing to do with the film, of course. So, but that's just me. I'm weird. It's a really cool film. I grew up watching Transformers with... The Constructicons make an appearance in this particular film. I was so excited to see them transform into the big Constructicon. It was awesome.
I also heard The Touch is in there.
The Touch?
The song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to that, I don't think. No. I was so thrilled by the sounds.
But yeah, The Touch is in there. And they're also putting that out as a Guitar Hero song.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ah. The original version of The Touch, I do believe. You've got the touch.
Well, do you know where it plays?
No, I don't. Okay. I just heard it does.
It's really strange, though, with some of the creatures in Transformers. They remind me of Short Circuit with the expressive eyes and that sort of thing. That's what I did not expect. Not having seen one, I didn't expect the Transformers to have facial expressions and that sort of thing. That's a strange concept.
Do they have facial? I didn't grow up in the time of the cartoon. Do they have facial expressions in the cartoon?
No, Optimus Prime in the cartoons had a mask on. So all you saw were his eyes, and his eyes just glowed brighter or darker. Like, that was it, you know. Here he has a mouth and he talks, and it's kind of strange. He's the narrator as well. It's a little bit of
Does
a weird...
Does he narrate while he's doing action?
Well, he intros the start and the end, and the ending's a little bit cheesy. There's a few cheesy moments. There's like the typical, oh, I'm an American, so I need to save the world. Like the poor Jordanians, they represented the Jordanian army with two helicopters that got blown up within 2 seconds. But of course, the American army was, you know, these massive jet planes and these top secret guns that could take out entire robots. You know, it's like... Come on, how inflated is your ego? And, of course, there's a checkpoint in between Jordan and Egypt where, you know, an Oompa Loompa, by the way, makes an appearance.
What, an actual real Oompa Loompa or just like a midget?
I will leave that for you to see when you see it in Transformers and you'll be like, oh, my God, there's the Oompa Loompa. And, of course, for some bizarre reason, they get waved through the checkpoint simply by saying that they're from New York. Right.
You want to suspend your disbelief, particularly when it's a film about like 50-foot robots.
Hey, I can believe the 50-foot robots. That America is the greatest nation in the world. That's questionable.
Oh, did you know they're fully built? Well, we'll talk about this last time you're on the life-size Gundam.
Oh, really?
Yes, they've actually finished it.
Oh, whereabouts?
It's in Tokyo somewhere. I forget where.
Is it something like you can climb in and look through his eyes?
It's just like it just stands there, and it shoots mist.
That is the most pathetic power you could have as a robot. What's your power? I shoot mist. You know, Astro Boy has lasers coming out of his ass. I shoot mist.
They got rid of that in the newer series.
Yeah, I was so disappointed with that. Come on, Canon buttocks.
Have you seen the new one, the CGI film that's coming out?
Oh, I saw the poster for it.
I don't know about it. It kind of looks a bit. Well, mostly just because the whole CGI thing, though, because that's because I'm cynical.
Yes. Is it real life with CGI?
No, just full CGI, I do believe.
Okay, that's all right. If it was, like, real life with CGI, then that would get a bit weird for me, because the professor needs to have that really big bulbous nose. I also saw an ad for something completely unexpected.
Is it Alice?
And I swear to God, the entire cinema cracked up laughing. it was one of those films where you have these military guys and they do this slow military walk, you know, triumphant boys coming to rescue the day. And they get this special armor and we're just like, oh, okay, that looks kind of cheesy. I wonder what the film is. And then the title came out and it was like, G.I. Joe.
And yeah, then, that's been in production for quite a
bit. Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know. And clearly some of the audience members in the cinema didn't know because people just seriously started laughing. It was just like, are you serious? They might as well make a Barbie film and have cross-genre.
Oh, speaking of weird films, there's also a new Tim Burton film in production.
Yes.
It's kind of been all the rage for the past few days. It's Tim Burton's version of Alice.
Yeah, that looks really good. Yes. They've released the cast as well.
Yes.
Well,
I know that Johnny Depp is the Mad Hatter.
It's so cool. Mm. Yeah. Anne Hathaway is the Snow Queen or the White Queen. Yeah. And that guy from Little Britain, you know, the...
I forget what his name is.
Yeah, Lucas or something.
Yeah, Lucas something. That'll be his name from now on.
He's Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of suitable considering, you know, he likes his fat suit.
I love Tim Burton. Yeah. Particularly The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ah, I haven't seen the whole thing of that. Oh, I fell asleep.
It's great.
Yeah?
Yes. I think we're rambling on a bit, so...
Okay, well...
Yes, so...
Thank you so much for
having
me on the show again.
Yay. And hopefully Sarah and Catton, or Jean, or whatever we like to call her, our foreign correspondent, will be also joining us.
So, cool. Excellent. Yes.
Hooray. So until next week, c'est la vie. And I'll probably, if you do send in some SMS, I'll probably break up the music with and I'll read them out. So, yeah.
And, of course, you can always check out my program, The Fool and the Opera, Sundays at 6. Or you can go to, as we were saying much earlier in the program, the podcasts and the blogs and stuff.
And Twitter. And
the Twitter, yeah.
Do you want to say your Twitter or do you just want to keep it?
Oh, yeah. Twitter.com/Fool and the Opera. It's different to the Joy / which is joy.org.au/the Fool yes. and the Opera. I couldn't fit into the Twitter. It's too long. So you can check that out and it links you to the podcast and the blogs. And I'd love for you to have a listen and see what you think.
People have always asked me who actually does the Joy Twitter?
a variety of people.
Yes. It's mystery. We like to keep it a mystery.
We've got a little person chained up in the back. In fact, it's a storeroom of monkeys, and eventually we hope they'll write Shakespeare.
Anyway, let's go to a track. You're listening to Lee, Rainbow Rufflecopter here on Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.